Hey, all you pet stylists, you found the Groom Pod. Welcome to our virtual salon. My name is Susie, and I'm your host. I'm a mobile groomer from Seattle, Washington, and anyone who knows me will tell you I love to talk, especially about my job. One of my favorite people to talk to is my friend and mentor and star of the show from Tucson, Arizona, and groomblog.blogspot.com, Miss Barbara Bird.
Hello, groomers! Hi, Susie, what's up?
Welcome to episode 227 of the Groom Pod, recorded on October 20th, 2019, in Snohomish, Washington, and Tucson, Arizona. This podcast is brought to you by listener support through Patreon and through our kind sponsors, Best Shot, Show Season, Evolution Shears. This week on the Groom Pod, we are going to sail into treacherous waters and take on a subject that is taboo in the industry, because that's the kind of girls we are. We're going to talk greasy coats and Dawn, and we're going to do a holiday prep checklist. So you can join our discussion if you find us on Facebook at facebook.com/group/thegroompod. And you can find things Groom Pod related at our website, including the Patreon button and the donation button, and that's thegroompod.com. And you guys, remember to subscribe to the Groom Pod to hear it every week and not miss it when I forget to put it up like I did this week. And also to share it with all your grooming pals. And this morning I had somebody who still didn't quite get how to download a podcast, and I was able to help her. So reach out to us if you can't figure out how to get on the podcast, and the tech girl, that's me, will help you walk you through it. So tell me about your week.
Oh, I had an exciting week. One big adventure I had is I had my left knee procedure that I've been building up to for months at the pain center. So they have this procedure that's a nerve block. And actually what they do is they radioactively burn the nerves and these injections. And first you go through to test, and they just put Novocaine in there or something. If that works for you with significant improvement, the insurance company will okay you for the real procedure. Instead of just giving you the real procedure, you have to go in there two times, first to go in there and request it, then two times to test it, and then you finally get to the big day. So here I was. It was the real deal, and I had done okay without, they offer either laughing gas or intravenous propanol. Which,
woohoo!
Yeah, that's very tempting, you know, like, you might want to go just for the drug. No, I mean, it's a really nice short-term anesthesia, and you just, like, go away, and then you come back.
That's exactly it. It's a good ride, too.
And the thing of it is, it's a good ride, too, and your body is just, like, happy. And so that's just the opposite of how your body would be if you were awake. And like I was when I was, I had a cyst removed from my breast by a doctor student guy. This was how I could afford that.
Yeah.
And you know what? They anesthetized me, so I didn't feel pain, but I was awake and could hear them. And they just chit-chatted to themselves during the whole damn operation.
Oh, creepy.
And nobody ever acknowledged that I was conscious on the table, you know, until I started to cry. I mean, it was so weird to be cut out and to just be a piece of flesh on their table. It was so bad that I wrote a letter recommended that he not become a gynecologist kind of dude, you know?
Yeah, I can see that.
So that was then. So, but here I am. I braved it out. I did the nitrous oxide once, and it was like nothing. It like didn't do anything. It was just like holding my breath, you know? So it did nothing. So the second time I got the test shots, and I managed, you know, like to get out of there without any cursing.
So, for you, that's good.
Yeah, it is. So this time, so I said, okay, I really didn't have the $50 for the intravenous knock you out drug. And believe me, I will never make this mistake again. I thought maybe like one out of 50 people would go for the intravenous sedative. I got into the pre-op waiting room. Everybody had the little hypodermic needle stuck in their wrist and they're dangling it like a bracelet. Everybody had one. Everybody was getting the propanol. And I thought, I think I might have made a mistake.
I hate that feeling, especially in the waiting room of a procedure.
And so what happened was, my inner comedian came out and I kept the waiting room entertained with sarcastic comments on what was going on there.
How'd it go?
And I got, oh God, it was so fucking painful.
Really?
It was so bad. So I'll tell you, I started out with just a son of a bitch because it's not a quick shot. They inject and then the stuff has to drizzle into your tissue, you know? It's an extended owie. Not like the bee sting of the other kind. Extended owie, three places. And I did, okay, son of a bitch on the left side. Goddamn son of a bitch on the bottom side. And then they hit the third one. Fuck
this. Ouch.
They were talking about how brave I was and all of that. I knew I was in trouble. They said, oh, look it, she's gonna be brave. Oh no, man, that third shot, the pain radiated from the location up my nerve on my inner thigh.
Oh,
just burning up there. And I was, I can't take this. We've got to stop. And they were saying, just a little longer.
You're almost there. You're almost there.
Fuck.
I'm going to have to put a disclaimer on this one for the language. Oh, Barbara. So now you're like, what, how many days later? How are you feeling?
Oh, I'm feeling okay. There's some soreness, but it's just only when I actually rub it. I think it's going to help. I noticed that my normal gait is back. I walk like I recognize myself instead of this little old lady shuffle thing.
Well, that's cool.
It does, however, still hurt when I sit down for a long time and get up. But, you know, they told me it would take several days to reach the maximum effect. And I think it's definitely going to be worthwhile, but we're going to have to look at some of these other related things. I still am getting the bad muscle spasm in my back.
Ah, yes. Well, interesting.
So let's move on. Enough about me.
Anything grooming you want to tell me about before I come at you with all of my crap?
Well, no, not really. I had terrible time, spent hours trying to download and upload my videos of my grooming the Scotty for Chrissy Neumeier Smith. But I finally found a blog that's helping me solve that mystery.
So it takes a really long time.
Yeah, I know. It takes a really long time, but it gives you this invalid video crap.
Well, I've got a question.
Sure.
How's that little brush working that has the dryer in it? Because I think I need one of those.
Well, it's really fat.
Too fat?
It's really fat. It might be too fat for your hand comfort. Just hold on a little while because I'm going to buy the other kind of those that I saw. There's another kind that looks more slender and it has almost a paw print shape where the air comes out of the, so the air is coming more from the top rather than the bottom. And also this other brush has the option of pin brush or slicker. You can do a pin brush, or you can do a slicker pin brush combination for like $56. But I don't want to spend the $56 unless I know that the $25 is good. So I'm going to buy that, and I'll go ahead and do that this weekend. And then I'll tell you if that one's better. We'll do a little market comparison.
I wanted to thank everybody for the really, really big response on the cockapoo pictures. Did you see that?
Yeah, that's fun.
Did you see the tattoo and the dog? Oh, what a good tattoo that was.
Oh, I missed that. I'll have to go look again.
Oh, you're going to have to look again. It's gorgeous.
Yeah, I kind of got preoccupied.
I had interesting adventures in mobile grooming this week, all in one day, actually. Yeah, it was pretty weird. I had two clients not answer their phone. One of them is 85 or 6 and lives in a senior housing, but on her own, and has this little lady dog. And I called and called and called, and I went up and I knocked on her door. And I mean, because at that point, I had 2 hours to kill because she wasn't coming down. So I went up and I tried to find her, and I couldn't find her. And I actually don't know what happened to her. She might have been in the hospital, but I did get a text back later saying, I'm so sorry. Call me. And then I haven't been able to catch her again because I think her phone isn't working. And I think that's part of the problem. So, okay, fine. No big deal. She doesn't pay a lot for her grooming. She's one of those. So, okay. So I get in the truck, send her a message that I'm leaving and drive away and go down two cities away to Woodinville, where I am meeting the lady who goes on the cruises. Well, 2 days prior, she got back from her Australia cruise, and she is zonked out like a light and also does not answer her phone. And I can't get in her building because she has to buzz me in her building. So I'm standing outside her window, and I'm waving like a crazy woman. It was terrible. And then, actually, I think it was like 2 hours later, I got a message from her that said she completely slept through all of my phone calls, all of my texts, and she apologized, blamed it on jet lag. But your heart really starts to wonder what's going on, especially with the 85-year-old. Not so much with Maureen, because I knew she had just gotten back from the cruise. But gee whiz, I'm glad both are okay. And I did Maureen's dog the other day. So all is well with that. Neither one of them are moneymakers, but both of them scared the holy crap out of me. Oh my God. So that's that. Yeah, ooh, hey, so we're having our mobile grooming roundup next Sunday afternoon. And Michael is coming from Cascade Grooming Supply, and he's going to bring his bag of tricks with him, and he'll have some cool stuff to play with. And we're having a sharpener come as well. And my shears are dull. I mean, almost everything is dull right now. And I'm thinking about having this guy sharpen some of my shears. I think if I take some of my lesser quality shears, what do you think of this idea? Now, Michael listens, but the guy who's going to sharpen does not.
Doesn't listen to you?
Doesn't listen to the podcast, so we can talk about him.
Oh, the podcast. Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, well, what do we know about this sharpener?
Well, we know he started out about 4 years ago, and that he is really good with public relations, and that he has an internet presence locally, and that he goes out of his way to show up and sharpen people's stuff, and that people are not saying anything bad about his sharpening, and they are reusing him at this point. I don't want to give him my shears that Randy made, nor do I want to give him my Evolution shears, but I've got like some Aussie dog shears and some old heritage shears and some basically practice shears that I could use being sharp, because they'll get me through to when Randy comes, or I can box up my stuff and send it to Randy. But even if I send the stuff to Randy, I still have nothing here that'll be sharp at this point because I've worn through everything. But I could send the good stuff to Randy if I can trust Matthew to do my crappy shears well enough that I can use them until my other shears come back. I don't know. I'm torn. I watched him evolve.
You watched him evolve?
Yes, from not knowing how to sharpen at all to 4 years later. I mean, if you do anything for 5 or 6 hours a day for 4 years, you're going to get better. Look at us. We've podcasted for 4.5 years and we're better.
Well, yeah. So there's that. And there's no bad reviews. His name hasn't been flaunted around. You know what? I just started with a new sharpener a few weeks ago. I've been sending my shears off, and the last time they came back, I lost a pair in the mail because they poked through the envelope or something and fell out. Not a huge loss, but it was a Arias Eichert shear, and they don't make them anymore. I had this guy, and he came in a couple of times and asked. I usually, what I do is I give them blades first, and then if I like the blade work, then I give them one or two pairs of scissors. So you see, the stickler on your story is that he's going to be there just for that day.
He lives nearby. I can certainly get to him. He's closer than the drive between the two ladies who didn't answer their phones.
Yeah, well, sorry about that.
That's okay. Yeah.
I asked the question, do you restore the micro serration?
Okay.
If they know what I'm talking about, and they know that micro serration isn't use a big file and scratch it up, they have to have a special equipment to be able to do that. So that's what I want on my bevel edge shears, is I want somebody who's going to replace the micro serration. For convex shears, it's just, do you do beauty shears?
I wasn't going to give him any of those.
Yeah, well, I usually give them one of each. I mean, if I'm pretty sure that they've been doing other, you know, if they come from the feed store, don't give them the Japanese shears. You know? However, they might do a really nice bevel edge sharpening for you. So this guy that came to me a couple of times and I finally used him, he did such a great job on everything for only $10 a shear. Last year, I told him to get the square and use the tip option because, you know, we need to chip our sharpeners.
Right.
And this year, I told him, dude, your prices are too low. People are going to look at your prices and think you're a hack. You need to up your prices to get the respect that you deserve, and you'll get the more money.
Good on you for helping him out. All right, well, let's take a quick break and hear from one of our very best sponsors, and that is Best Shot Products. They've been with us really like 3.5 years, so we've got to appreciate that. Then we're going to come back, and we're going to talk about a little grooming issue I had this week.
You know, groomers, your salon runs on shampoo and conditioner, and what you choose to bathe with can make or break the quality of your work, productivity, your health, and even your career. Sure, there's a ton of shampoo lines to choose from, but if you haven't tried Best Shot's innovative systems, you may be working too hard. You owe it to yourself to check out BestShotPet.com. Discover firsthand why so many groomers rely on their trusted mastery of coat care chemistry. That's BestShotPet.com. Learn more about using their 3-step system and how Best Shot mindfully formulates using advanced grooming technologies, combining the very best nature and science has to offer. Whether it's their 3-step system, the one-shot odor annihilator, Ultramax Pro Line, MED skin treatments, or the amazingly aromatic and fun Sentiment Spa Collection, Best Shot has something tailored just for groomers that really works. For over 25 years, Best Shot has lived up to its claim to get dirty jobs done right, so you can start making masterpieces out of nightmares in record time. What are you waiting for? Contact your favorite distributor or catalog and get some Best Shot today. I love them.
Ready, groomers? Here comes our first appointment. One of my Havanese, this happens to be the Havanese named Louie, who has really long ears and a really long tail. Surprise, surprise, he has a recurrent ear infection. Now, this is a dog that I've stopped pulling ear hair on because of our current knowledge is to leave the ear hair alone. So I don't do his ear hair. I just cut out what I need to. And if it gets greasy and gooey, I might pull some of those gross middle hairs out. But for the most part, I leave what I can't cut out in his ear. But he goes on the boat a lot. These people have moved onto their boat from their big house. They got an offer they couldn't refuse on their gigantic house, and they took it, and they moved onto their gigantic boat. So no big deal. I mean, it's better than most of us have, but still, very lovely boat. And now I have to drive into the city and meet them at the dock, which is in a really shady area, but it was fun. I enjoy going down there because it's a great view. And we all know I like a groom with a view, and this is definitely a good one. Got Lake Union and the airplanes coming in and out, and it's awesome. It's very nice. Anyway, I got there day before yesterday, and she said, oh, I've got to warn you that Louise had ear infection since we've seen you. About a month in between the grooming, he had an ear infection while we were away, and we've been treating it. And his ears are really, really, really greasy. And I had remembered that they were greasy last time, and I had a terrible time with them. And I did manage to finally get them somewhat clean, but I'd love to know the science behind getting greasy ears clean, and things like, what can we do? What can I tell her to do at home? What can we do as professionals to kind of combat this? So what I did this time, last time I opened up my grime time from show season, and it's like, there's a teeny tiny bit on the bottom and it's hard as wax. And I just couldn't get it to mix in with anything. I mean, I didn't realize I had run out, but basically I was out of grime time. So I didn't have it this 8 weeks ago when I did them last time before they left on the boat. I tried to pull out the grime time yesterday and dissolve it into the water instead of just applying it crumbly pieces of what was like chalk to the poor dog's ear. So I threw it in there. And then I grabbed my other most powerful cleaner, which is not a shampoo company that we recommend, but it is a product that I reach for occasionally. It's Griminator. I pulled out the Griminator and I kind of caked it on his ears a little bit. And thank goodness she let me cut his ears. So I took him into a nice short kind of frame the face looking angular cleaner ear. And then I tried to clean it up as best as I could. And I was much more successful this time. But still, she's going to have to cake more of that ear medication in there all for another 2 weeks. And what can I tell her to do at home, Barbara? What could I have done differently? Help!
Well, first I've got to laugh because I had an ear trimming experience yesterday.
Oh, really?
This was so funny. There's two Shih Tzus. One of them is one that was like a throwaway, totally deformed and... oh, God. I mean, you know, like she's just weird. And she's a good little girl, except she doesn't really like working around her eyes. But she needed a much shorter face. The woman asked for a much shorter face. So I gave a much shorter face. And then she wanted the ears trimmed. And so I trimmed them up and I made them perfect. You know, like I watch the TV and I watch the people on CNN. Those women all have this perfect bob haircut. And it's so cool. And so I said, okay, I'm going to give this my best straight cut bob. Look, it's contemporary. It was just like about a half a regular ear. And it looked so cute on her. And I was so proud. There's no stragglies, nothing. I got it down. And we give her back her dogs. And 2 minutes later, she's back in with that dog. She can't stand the ears.
Oh, no.
Will you please round these ears? She looks like some Cleopatra thing. I said, exactly. It took me half an hour to get there. It didn't take me that long, but I'm sure I spent at least 10 minutes on the ears alone. And, you know, like I was devastated, but I couldn't be. I just had to be sure, no problem. I'll get that, you know, and we just rounded off the two ends of each year, and she was good, but golly.
Well, I was grateful because this was a drastic change on this dog, and it made him look so much younger. I was really happy with it, and his ears look great. So, you know, 2 more weeks on the ear meds is what the doctor ordered. And so I encouraged them to go through the entire treatment, because if you really want to get rid of it, even though it visually looks better, finish that ear medication.
There's a couple of things that they could do. You asked me that question. Let me answer it, okay? there's a couple of different things she can do. She can use an astringent, anything like witch hazel is somewhat good, but she could use Listerine mouthwash on cotton pad and just clean the edges of that ear every day or two.
Okay.
And because that has alcohol in it, and alcohol is a solvent, it's an excellent solvent. You know, otherwise, she could do the cornstarch thing. And
I wondered about, so now that we've taken the length off so that there's a lot less ear to deal with, because I thought, you know, it's probably wicking some of that oil down, and it just looked like a really greasy homeless person that hadn't taken a shower for a long time. It was stringy looking. It was yucky. It was gross.
Yeah, that doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter. Okay, I'll cut that out.
You don't really want to work in the oil.
Okay.
You want to remove it or cut it or lessen it in some ways.
So tell me how you use the cornstarch.
The cornstarch, I just have these empty shaker bottles that I get. Sometimes you can even find them at the dollar store. And I do a combination of cornstarch baking soda.
Okay.
The baking soda helps to deodorize.
Sure.
And just sprinkle it, you know, like, flap the ear open, sprinkle on the inside of the ear leather, just work it in a little bit with your fingertips and give it 5 or 10 minutes and then brush it out.
Okay.
And anything that doesn't come out will kind of cake up. You really want to try to brush it out, but it will all dissolve with water, you know, in the bath, the next bath.
I gave her a bottle of foaming face wash, and I said she could use that.
It kind of depends on the foaming. The thing about the foaming face wash is that it's getting its mojo from the foam, more from the application method, which is by using the foam. Then it's not as strong. Sometimes, in order to be tearless, they're really mild. It's not that good a cleaner. It's not
okay.
That good a degreaser. Okay.
Okay, I get it. How about something?
That's not a bad idea, because the thing about a foaming face wash is that it's formulated so as to be safe if it's left in.
Okay, so you know what else is formulated to be safe if it's left in is that Best Shot spray-on dry cleaning, the spray-on cleaner from Best Shot.
Just this week, Yvonne bathed a wire fox terrier for me, and she gave him a bath bomb rinse, but he still had greasy coat on a spot on his back, and I had her take the spray dry cleaner. I use that Not Your Mother's brand, and it got the little excess oiliness out of the coat. It looked great. If it's not too greasy, I think that's a good little first aid for grease spots.
Best Shot Dry Clean Pet Spray. That's what it's called. See, 10 minutes later, I figure it out.
Yeah, that's good. I have never used that.
Yeah, I like it quite a bit. It works good, but I didn't want to give that to her. So, you know, I used that last time to try and clean it back up. One of the things I did this time, because he was kind of had some dreadlocks in there and I wanted to get him out, was I used a gel, since he was already grossly greased up anyway. I used a gel detangler and I got the tangles out. And then I had a little bit more to clean on one side, because it was only the one side that had the tangles in it. But still, it worked really well. Tell me about this idea of using oil to get oil out. I saw that on the internet. Is that a weird thing? What is that?
Hey, no, that was Dave Campanella being provocative.
Oh, he was poking with a stick? Poke, poke.
Yeah, he was poking with it. He was trying to provoke a conversation. Some people say that the way that conditioner washing, co-wash.
I remember that.
Conditioner instead of a shampoo. Okay, so some people say that it works by oil breaking down oil. That's a kind of an old concept, that's a grandmother's concept, that oil breaks down oil. You know, and the truth is, when you've got like tree gum on an ear, tree gum, gum from the tree, sap. Peanut butter has been known to help with that. That's one of the kind of home remedies, what you've got in the cupboard kind of approach. So, and it works that oil attracts oil. But that's not how co-wash shampoos work.
Okay.
Co-wash shampoos work with cationic surfactants that are also somewhat cleansing.
Okay. So I get it.
So it works through emulsification of these surfactants. Excuse the big words, but that's the truth. It's not oil on oil.
Well, there are certain ingredients that really are helpful in getting rid of the grease, aren't there? I mean, like, for instance, my very favorite surfactant, sodium lauryl sulfate or sodium lauryl sulfate. Those are both really good degreasers, aren't they?
Especially the sodium lauryl.
That's the one. Yeah.
That's the one. Yeah. And that's what grind time is. That's what grind time is. Highly concentrated sodium lauryl sulfate with sunflower triglycerides, which are refatting agent. It tends to replace the oil on your skin that the harsher surfactant might have removed. So Show Season's degreaser called Grime Time is straight on pretty much sodium lauryl sulfate. And Davis Manufacturing has a degreaser that's mostly a sodium lauryl sulfate concentrate. You know, one of the ways you can tell, Pure Pet, one I used for years, Pure Pet jar of degrease. That was just sodium lauryl sulfate. So it is a kind of a traditional degreasing agent that we've used. And they also use it on battleships, okay? But delimonene is also used. Orange oil, but orange oil is not so much an oil as it is an essential oil that has degreasing ability.
That one's one that I tend to avoid these days because it seems to affect my breathing. I think I have a respiratory irritation sensitivity to that one, so I stay away from it. But I do love the grime time during the summer when I can actually get in and get some of it out of the tub. But in the winter, it becomes a solid block.
Now, Susie.
Yes.
Take the jar into the house. Put it in the microwave for short bursts of time until it is melted. Then you're off to work with liquid sodium lauryl sulfate.
Great idea.
Just heat it up a little bit.
It doesn't have to be clear. I just need it to be a little bit malleable in the wintertime.
right. And that's what'll do it.
A little bit of heat. Okay.
Yeah, a little bit of heat.
So you mentioned earlier using Listerine, and I think that's a good segue because we're going to talk about using another product, one that gets a lot of bad reputation and also has a really good reputation at doing its job. So let's take a break and we're going to hear from Evolution Shears, those fabulous shear people that are saving my hands. And then we're going to come back and talk about Dawn.
Our hands are money makers. We rely on them. How long we last in this career is dependent on how well we care for our hands. Evolution Shears were engineered to be the most ergonomic shears out there. They were designed by a team of groomers, sharpeners, and medical professionals with comfort in mind. They started with the observation that all hands were not created equal. In fact, they are all unique and have different needs. Evolution Shears are fully customizable with adjustable sizing and your choice of fixed ring, single, or double swivels. I recommend the double swivels. They're my personal favorites. Evolution Shears work with your thumb in its natural position, making scissoring in all directions a pleasure. They are made to prevent repetitive stress injuries that occur due to scissoring and keep you from grooming. Lastly, they use high-quality materials but are affordable. They come in curves, straights, thinners, and chunkers, and in a variety of lengths and edges. A good thing for those of us with scissor addictions. There is a learning curve, but don't worry. The staff at Evolution will hold your hand through the whole process. Their customer service is tip-top. You can put your hands on a pair of Evolution shears and say hi to Abby, Ron, and our favorite salesperson, Chris Anthony, at many of the grooming shows. But if you're in a hurry, and you should be, go online to evolutionshears.com or call them at 877-560-3057 and buy yourself a pair or two. Be sure to ask for Chris because she'll take great care of you. But wait, if you act now... Okay, you don't have to act right now, but mention the Groom Pod when you place your order or put Groom Pod in the coupon code on the Evolution website and you will receive $10 off each pair of shears. How cool is that?
Up in the morning and out to school. The teacher is teaching the golden rule.
Groomers, take your seats. School is about to begin.
Back to school time, Barbara. I have a poem for you that you wrote, and here it is. When I sent Barbara that I needed help with greasy coats, she sent me this. You need a jar of Grime Time or Dawn dish soap. Oh boy, hold your chair, buckle up, let's go there. I will put up the ingredients if you dare. So Barbara, let's do it. Let's talk about Dawn.
Oh, thanks for the poem.
Well, thank you.
I just wrote it. I didn't think of it. Oh, that's a poem. It's kind of cool, huh?
I loved it, and I grabbed it, and I was like, oh, but it doesn't have the right... I got to change this. I changed a few words in there, so it has become a collaborative poem, I suppose, but still basically Barbara's poem.
Well, I was excited for the opportunity to... sail into the treacherous seas of should we use Dawn dish soap in order to understand the fuss about Dawn. Here's the statement of the fuss. There are those higher-ups in the industry that would say Dawn dish soap is unprofessional to use. It's off-label and it's just like not a professional grooming product. And so it makes your service look shabby and less professional if you're washing dogs with Dawn dish soap. That comes from a history, unfortunately, that the grooming industry has of being a real kind of dirty, grimy little shop with uneducated women in there.
Cottage industry.
And there was a period of time when even veterinarians would actually recommend that you use dish soap. They recommended Joy dish soap for years before we had pet degreasers. And for skin problems, they would suggest Joy dish soap. Show handlers used to use Ivory dish soap as a whitening ingredient because it's so thorough.
I remember that.
Yeah, yeah. When the industry became more focused and serious, especially serious about striving for a higher professional image, one of the things that got thrown under the bus was using dish soap for pet grooming. Thrown under the bus. If we get that element out of our profession, we'll look better.
Yeah.
I understand that. But however, the notion that you could be sued for a whole lot of money if you use a dish soap instead of a dog degreaser is absolute bullshit.
We have to put our hands in it. We use it on plates that we eat. It couldn't possibly be hazardous, hopefully.
If you get sued over a bath, it isn't going to be about that you use Dawn dish soap. It's, you know, you're likely to have actually have more of a problem if you use a strong delimining shampoo than if you use. But let's take a look before, you know, like before we just like shrug it off like it's nonsense. I'm sorry I used that BS word. It just sort of slipped out, Susie. You can clip my wings if you wish. Anyway.
Yes, you were going to tell us about what's really in there doing the job, oh, why it's safe.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Thank you. I have. Yes. Let's just look at the ingredients. So, first two ingredients, sodium lauryl sulfate and sodium laureth sulfate. So, okay, those two are quite a team, and they can sometimes be in the reverse order, where there's a little bit more laureth sulfate than the lauryl sulfate. But either way, those two complement each other. You've got that good degreaser sodium lauryl sulfate as a primary cleanser, and then sodium laureth sulfate, which is many times more mild, as your co-surfactant. And then they have lauramine oxide, which is a non-ionic surfactant used as an emulsifier, thickener, foam enhancer in hundreds of cleaning products. And it's especially helpful because it is an alternative to the cocamide DEA and the cocamide MEA. Cocamide DEA has been maligned because it has DEA in it. That's another subject. I'm not going to go there, but it's on many bad ingredient lists. So lauramine oxide is a substitute for that kind of an ingredient. Then it has, here's the one, alcohol denatured. That's what truly distinguishes Dawn from a shampoo, okay? You would not have a solvent, especially just alcohol, in a regular shampoo. It's in other things like sprays and hairsprays and
ear cleaner
and that. But the presence of alcohol in the Dawn is one of the main things that distinguishes it as separately and different and maybe more aggressive than a shampoo. Okay, sodium chloride, salt, a thickener. And it's just like a typical thickener that's used with sulfate products. Here's a weird one. PPG 26. PPG 26 is also known as PPG 26, Butef 26. Again, it's an emulsifier. And it has some thickening action, too. It's also friendly to skin. Okay, so it's kind of a skin soothing, leaves a good skin feel. And that's something that you want in dish soaps that we don't think about quite as much with a shampoo, but it leaves your hands feeling good. Then is PEG 8 propylheptyl ether, a non-ionic surfactant. It's a cleansing product, but just a little bit cleansing. It's here probably as an emulsifier and a emulsion stabilizer to hold the whole thing together. And then there's just some pH adjustment with sodium hydroxide and a preservative system using phenoxyethanol methyl isothiazolinone. I said it.
Yes, you did.
Yeah, I just said it because I can say it. Okay, so that's it. You know, like one of the things that we need to be cognizant of is that Ultra Dawn has changed in formulation over the last 10 years. And this ingredient list that I'm writing about and talking about is from P&G website 2018. So just last year, this was kind of freshened up, and they took out some of the ingredients that were more controversial. One of them, for sure, is the quaternium 15 was removed from Dawn and from many Procter & Gamble products because it had a record of allergic reactions. And it's one that was on, it just got butchered on the internet, Quaternium 15. So they just took it out and reformulated with phenoxyethanol.
Okay.
Phenoxyethanol. Okay. So that's it. Now, I don't see anything in there that's harmful to pets. There's two things that we need to be aware of. Alcohol is in there, and in this case, it is, you know, the real thing, alcohol. And then this PPG26-butet-26 is kind of an obscure ingredient that you probably wouldn't find in a shampoo. Otherwise, it's a shampoo.
Just because those ingredients aren't necessarily found in shampoos, it doesn't mean that they're bad for you or anything. I mean, they're used, you're supposed to have it on your hands and on your plates. We're going to eat off of these plates. And people have been using it in one form or another, at least Dawn, for now a good long amount of time.
And it's effective. You got to drop that in. I mean, not only has it been used for a long time off-label, it's effective. It's a very effective degreaser. And you could clean those cocker ears.
They really did use it on the birds and the oil spills.
They really do, yeah. And birds are more delicate than farm dogs.
Absolutely, yep, for sure.
Even more delicate than my Bichon, who thinks she's pretty delicate.
Okay. Anything that you feel like we need to add before we wrap this up?
No, I'm going to say, you know, it's true. If you are seeking an image from displaying the products that you use, you probably don't want to put a large, giant bottle of Dawn there, right? There's no reason why you can't keep it in your cupboard for use in certain situations.
Like really greasy medicine ears.
Yeah. Yeah. Like really greasy medicine ears. And then you rinse it and then you use a conditioner. Okay.
There you go. Problem solved. All right. There, we took a stand. We've sailed through the waters. The white caps are gone and now it's smooth sailing from here on in. Let's hear from show season. Well, let's hear you and I talk about show season. And then we're going to come back for a really quick holiday prep list.
So, Barbara, what's new over at show season? I got an inkling. A little bird told me there might be something coming down the pipeline. What is it?
Yeah, I'm excited because show season now has hemp conditioner. So we've already reviewed and appreciated the hemp shampoo that they have. It's a non-sulfate shampoo, seems to be very mindfully formulated. And in the past, what we would do if we wanted to have additional conditioning, more serious conditioning, we would use their hypo conditioner. But now they have a conditioner that's been formulated to match up with the hemp shampoo made by the same formulator. So that's exciting. I'm looking forward to trying that. I just got wind of it. So we'll try some out and get back to you on that.
I love this about show season. They're always looking for ways to better the products. They're looking for new things they can infuse in there. They're so willing to work with our ideas, and they're just great people over there, aren't they?
They really are, and they really do listen to groomers, and they're always upgrading and improving and adding to, and if there's a certain fragrance that you just got to have in a shampoo, you need to tell them about it.
Yeah, that's cool because they are also environmentally thoughtful, and they're trying to keep their local sources, and yeah, no, they're great people. And if you guys want to support a great company like Show Season that supports the Groom Pod, you can do so by going to their website, showseasongrooming.com. And if you haven't already, set up your wholesale account and do that on the phone. Their phone number is 678-382-0218, or email if you already have their setup. But really, they're at lots of local distributors. They're all over the place. I think that they're at Groomers Mart, but I know that they're at Cascade Grooming Supply.
Let's see what's happening at the grooming table. This just came to me because I was going through the motions of this holiday preparation, and I realized that I do this every year about this time, and so I thought I'd share it with the group because, you know, why not? We needed a third topic. It's quick. So I have a little checklist of things that I go through about this time of year before we head into the really busy season, which starts, like, for us, October 31st and goes pretty much through the first week of January or so. So the first thing I do is I take a product inventory and I clean up the bottles in the area that the products are stored in, and I look for stuff that I might need for the holiday season. So I get my products in order and I order my products because sometimes it takes a little while for them to get to me. So if I'm short on anything I really need, I'm going to get it now. Also, if you're going to do retail, if you have retail in your shop, you want to look at what you need for the holidays now, if you haven't already, and get that stuff ordered in. Next important thing to do before the craziness happens is check your blade drives on your clippers, get your filters clean on your dryers, change those out if they're not perfectly clear, do all of your little bitty maintenance, check to see, like I did, if your shears are sharp or if you need to send them to the new guy, or box them up and mail them to Randy, or whatever it is you do with your blades and your shears. Inspect all your equipment and get that all ready. Do a big cleaning in your general area because you're probably not going to do another big cleaning till after the craziness is over. You'll just do the tidying up unless you have a cleaning service that comes in and does it while you're not working, which, how cool is that? But I don't have that luxury.
How cool is that?
Yeah, I've just got a little trailer, so I have to do the big wipe down of everything. I mean, I wipe down a little bit every night, but I have to do the big wipe down so that I can start the next couple months really clean and fresh and all of that. Check your holiday decor. If you're going to put stuff up, make sure you've got it or get ready to go to the party store and get it because it's all going to start to show up right now. So right now I have my Halloween stuff up in the trailer, but I'll be changing that out for some gooey, sticky Christmas holiday goodies that I can put on my windows. But that's all the decorating I do. If you're going to give gifts, you better be on that now as well. Barbara doesn't give any gifts. I have taken to not giving gifts either. I used to do pictures and I had to do those in the middle of the summer, but the podcast is our gift. We give it to the groomers instead of to our clients, but that's all good. So if you're going to do gifts, get them ready. And that includes your employees too. If you're going to do gifts for your employees as an employer, you might want to get that in order at this point or decide what you're going to do. And then lastly, plan your holiday marketing. If you need to do promotions like spa packages, get that all set up and priced out and know what you guys are going to do before the season comes, because some people are really good at procrastinating and doing things at the last minute, but there's some of us out there that I'm looking at Barbara and smiling. And then there's some of us that like to plan and plot, and I'm a planner and a plotter. So I'm getting all that stuff ready.
I'm in these wild dashes to the drugstore to get more red bows, or running off to Michael's in the middle of a day of work to get some kind of something or other. And oh no, I need this. You know, I'm like, oh God. It's just like, yeah. But what's so funny is, can I tell the story about our coincidence?
Oh yes, go for it.
So the funny thing is, people, is that while Susie's sitting in Seattle making her little list of stuff, unbeknownst to her, I didn't know what the topic was going to be. But I sometimes on Sunday, I stop in the middle of my researching a serious subject, and I just drift over to Amazon for a minute. In this case, I drifted onto my regular news feed from Facebook, and there was this ad from Greater Good Animal Rescue Site of this cool blanket that's like a throw blanket, and it's in a red, white, and blue, and it's got paw prints on it, and it's just like very festive and very doggy. And I thought that would be a perfect covering for my cupboard behind my table where we put all the Christmas gifts on top. So I'm shopping for something Christmassy as she's making up this. I'm in Tucson. I just cracked up when I got her text message of what our subjects were. I said, I can't believe you're doing that. I just bought a blanket for Christmas decoration in the shop.
See, so it proves do prepare. You do prepare.
Yeah, I know, especially if I can shop for it.
Well, today I'm going to do very shy dog that belongs to the receptionist at my husband's pain doctor, continuing on with the doing your service professionals dogs. I'm headed out. It's way far away. It's a 50-minute drive from the house. And on the way out there, I'm going to do a poly...
50? Yeah. 10 less than 60.
Yeah, you can never have enough help at the doctor's office. You know, if I can do a good deed for her extremely nervous dog, I will do it. It's not all that often, so this will be my first time out there. And on the way out there, I have to stop and shave a cat that has polydactyl feet, right? Many, many toes. And he has nails in between the polydactyl toes. He has nails up in between. Yeah, really mutant cat. God. So I've got to get those nails trimmed because you don't expect them there. I'll never forget the first time I saw them. Holy moly, toes with nails in between the toes, not just on the end. So that's my exciting afternoon. Woohoo! It's all good. All right, because I have such an adventurous afternoon, let's close this down. And Barbara, I'm going to let you take care of your old dog that you're babysitting for temporarily, hopefully, and I will head out and groom all of these lovely pets on my end. Hey guys, thank you for supporting us. I want to give a shout out at this point, a big shout out to everybody who supports us on Patreon. We cannot thank you enough. Basically, between that and our individual industry sponsors, that's how we pay for all of this fun we're having every single week. So thank you to our sponsors and thank you to all of you from Patreon. All right, happy grooming, Barbara.
All right, same at you, Susie. Care of yourselves. The holidays are coming.
Bye-bye now.
Well, stylists, it's time to sweep up the hair, clean out the tub, and turn out the lights on another episode of the Groom Pod. Remember to join the discussion group and be part of the show by liking us on Facebook at The Groom Pod. You can find Barbara online at groomblog.blogspot.com and at her shopping site, www.shop.bbird.biz. You can email me at Susie, S-U-S-Y, at thegroompod.com or Barbara at barbara@thegroompod.com. Please tell all your friends about the show and leave comments and reviews anywhere that you can. And also, please support the sponsors of the show. They make it possible for us to continue on. So on behalf of Barbara Bird and myself, thanks for listening and see you real soon.
Did you have a song in mind for this one? You don't even remember writing it?
No. That's a good thing about getting to be 79 years old. Each day is a new day.
All right. Well,